practice praising Him here, like we talked about this morning, because that's all we're going to do throughout eternity. I don't plan on spending too much time in my mansion. I plan on spending as much time as possible at His feet for a few thousand years, and then we'll see after that. But I praise the Lord for His grace and His mercy upon my life. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, and I hope you do, it'll be in Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16. I'm going to read verses 21 through 27. As we think about becoming a follower of Christ. Becoming a follower of Christ. And that's a question we need to ask, we all need to ask ourselves tonight. Would you characterize yourself as a follower of Christ? Not in word. You say, well, I'm saved. Yes, I'm a follower. Well, are you following? Because a follower follows. Jasper Finner is a follower of Tyler Finner. How do I know that? Because everywhere I go, he's right behind me. Onyx Finner is a follower of his mama. How do I know that? Because you hear this in the kitchen. His little fat hands hitting the floor, and you know that he's following his mom. A true follower of Christ follows Christ. And we see in the Scriptures tonight how that we can become a follower, someone that pursues Him. We see that in the Word of God here. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 27. You can remain seated, and I'll begin reading in verse number 21. The Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto Thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind Me, Satan, thou art an offense unto Me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." Brother Frank, would you pray for us?
Our Father, in Jesus' name, thank Thee for the songs that You sing. Lord, what a message. And thank Thee for the precious Word of God that Brother Tyler read. Lord, open our hearts that we might receive the Word, and not only receive it, but hear it through the Word of God. Lord, help the man of God tonight, have quickness of mind, remember the Scriptures.
Please give me grace.
Yes. Thy glory. Anyone here unsaved, may they realize their lost, undone condition. And if Jesus' will, God's will, that none should perish.
Yes.
But Lord, it's our duty to follow Christ, going into the highways and byways, down in the sinners, and into the Lord's house. Lord, I'm so thankful that You saved me. All respect.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. So I wanted to read a quote here from John Phillips. He says, "It has been well said that the first question that comes to a soul is heaven or hell. When that question is settled in favor of heaven, the second question that comes to a soul is heaven or earth. We must settle that second question at the foot of the cross and in the light of the value of a soul." So then the question I want us to ask ourselves tonight, are you merely a believer or are you a follower of Christ? Because we're going to see tonight what it takes to be a follower. Not in name, because everyone in here would say, I'm a follower of Jesus. But is your life characterized by you actually following Him? Because we see what that takes tonight in our text before us. Now, in verses 21 through 23, I've got 3 points here that I will move through kind of very quickly by way of introduction. But we see in verse number 21, leading up to our text, we see the initial mention of the cross by Christ. The Bible says, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. So He begins here to tell His disciples, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again after 3 days. And I praise the Lord for that message. That's what we just celebrated on Easter Sunday, and we should celebrate that every week, not just on Easter Sunday, because hey, we still have resurrection power dwelling within us because He is still alive. And He is telling His disciples that this here, and at this point, they don't understand it. That when Peter hears this, he hears it with his fleshly ears and not his spiritual ears. So we see the initial mention of the cross, and then we see, and we could probably say this a lot about ourselves, but we see the ignorant rebuke from Peter. And see, I relate to Peter a lot of ways. And one of the big ways is he's really good at shoving his foot deep down his mouth. He's really good at it. And don't raise your hand up and agree with me, but I'm with every smile and little head nod in the room, there's more people like Peter in here. But I will, to Peter's credit, not too long before this, he says the great words, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then we see not too long after this, him rebuking Jesus, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. So we see here the ignorant rebuke from Peter. Verse 22, Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So we see Peter here is looking currently at Jesus coming, I believe, to rule and reign physically at that time. That he was coming to overthrow Rome. I think that was kind of the view of a lot of them until Jesus made his word clear to them. So Peter's like, You're not going to die. You're going to reign. You're going to rule. But then Jesus here, we see the ignorant rebuke from Peter. But then we see the insightful rebuke of Peter from Christ. Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Why in the world would Jesus say that to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Well, the reason is here, Peter is basically saying, You're going to rule and reign now. Basically, bypass the cross and reign now. Because Peter doesn't understand, because Jesus just told him, but it went pew, right over the top of his head, about the death, the burial, the resurrection. He doesn't understand that yet. So he is basically saying, Bypass the cross and reign now, not realizing really what he's saying. What did Satan tempt Christ with? Satan, he said, "If all that thou seest, I'll give unto thee if you'll just bow down and worship me." Is that not what he said? Saying here, he's saying, Bypass the cross. That's what the devil is saying. And get your glory by worshiping me. That's why he said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter, I think unknowingly, was saying the same thing that Satan did. But I thank the Lord that Jesus went all the way. That he would not bypass the cross, because I believe he saw you and he saw me in need of a Savior, and he said, I'm going to go all the way. And guess what? Everything that the devil offered him, he's now sitting on the right hand of the Father and has received it rightfully, having fulfilled the plan of God. Amen. Jesus went all the way. But at this point, Peter didn't realize what he was saying, I don't think. But he was basically saying what Satan said, and that's why Jesus said this. And so we see here the insightful rebuke of Peter. So that we see the initial mention of the cross, the ignorant rebuke of Peter, the insightful rebuke of Peter by Christ. And now really to the message or the thought for tonight, we see the instructions for following Christ. the instructions for following Christ in verse number 24. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And elsewhere in Scripture it says, "Take up his cross daily and follow me." So how are we to become a follower of Jesus? A few things. First, the first thing is we must discern who we are following.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. Because if you don't know much about a person that's telling you to follow them, if I don't know much about them, I'm not going to have much of a desire to follow them. But just the opposite, if I know a lot about someone, for example, I was thinking about this today as I was studying this. I remember when I was 8 years old, I was a football player, second string, wasn't much of a player, but it was my dad's birthday. And at that point in my career, I wasn't the best player, but every player got a few plays. And when I did get in, I got to play running back, and I begged the coach. I said, "Can we run this play? I know I'm going to score. I know I'm going to get a touchdown," because I wanted to, because it was my dad's birthday. I wanted to give my very best, give my all for my dad, because I knew how much he loved me. I knew how much he cared for me. I knew how much time he had invested in me, and I wanted with all my heart to score a touchdown for him that day, because I knew him. And because I knew him, it put a burning desire in my heart to score that touchdown. And praise the Lord, in his mercy, I did score that day. I thank the Lord for that. I did, and I was so happy, and my dad loved it, and it was just a cool memory in my life. But see, that the reason a lot of Christians today are not pursuing Jesus is because they don't know much of him. Because that's what we talked about this morning. Because as a child of God, if you're truly saved, the more you learn about Jesus, the more you will love him and the more you will want to follow him. So we see here, it says, if any man will come after me, who are we following? We must discern his person. Remember, Jesus, he was 100% man, but at the same time, 100% God. It is the God-man that we are commanded to follow. The one who created everything that we see. The Bible says, without him was nothing made that was made. Jesus is the creator. He is God. He's not just some feeble man like you and me, but he is the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world. So we discern his person. He's not just some man. Because, I mean, I can understand reasons why you wouldn't want to follow me. But Jesus was a perfect, spotless man. He did everything right. Never did one thing wrong. Was completely obedient to the law. There is no one else worth following like Jesus is worth following. We must discern his person. We must discern his power. And I praise the Lord when the Lord tells us to do something, he doesn't leave us to do it on our own, Brother Frank. He doesn't tell us to do it and then say, "Give it your best shot." No, he tells us to do something, and then if we'll let him, he will enable us to do it. He has all power. He will tell us to do it. He'll enable us to do it. And we can follow him as he wants us to because of his power. Jesus is powerful. We saw it. The Bible says, John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He raised himself. He did that. That's what we talked about this past week. God didn't raise him. He raised him. He said, my life I laid down and I take it up again. He is powerful. He is worth following. And that's why we need to get in our Bible and we need to get in the Gospels and learn of Jesus. And because the more we learn of him, the more we'll want to follow him. That's the natural byproduct. And if you learn more of Jesus and you don't want to follow him more, you may need to take a step back and say, why not? Is there something in my life I need to deal with? Or even, Lord, am I your child? Because I believe a true child wants to follow their father. Jasper, naturally, everywhere daddy goes, he wants to be. And I hear, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy." That's where we should be as God's children. Everywhere we go. And praise the Lord, although when Jasper says that to me, sometimes I'm like, "Come on, son, I'm trying to study." But our Heavenly Father is not that way. We can say, "Abba, Abba," all the time. Father, Daddy. And he wants us to do that. The Bible says pray without ceasing, doesn't it? His ear is always attentive to our prayer. He wants to teach us more of Him. So that's why the Holy Spirit is within us, to empower us, but to help us learn more of Christ. See, that's the Holy Spirit's job, to point people to Jesus, to learn more of Jesus, to teach us about Jesus. So we see we must discern His person, His power, and His purpose and plan. And we saw that from the beginning. Christ's purpose from the very beginning was to die on the cross for you and for me. And He went all the way, lived the perfect sinless life, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, is seated on the right hand of the Father. And when you repent of your sins and place your faith in Him, He takes residence in your heart, and now He wants you to point other people to Him. And the only way we can do that is to follow Him. Because that's how you become like somebody, isn't it? To follow Him. That's why a lot of times people say, you act just like your dad. Well, guess what? I spent a lot of time with my dad over the years. And sadly, for better or for worse, I act a lot like him because of that. See, and that's if we want to do what Jesus wants us to do, we need to follow Him so that we will naturally become like Him. Wouldn't it be nice for somebody to say, you look just like your daddy, but talking about Jesus? That's what a Christian is, right? A little Christ. We're here to look like Him and to live for Him in this world. We must discern who we're following next. We must deny ourselves. And we live in a world that preaches just the opposite. And honestly, if you're honest with yourselves, that is just the opposite of what our flesh desires. My flesh is selfish. My flesh wants what I want. But if we're going to be a true follower of Jesus, we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to deny ourselves. It says, let him deny himself. The word deny means to deny strongly, with the implication of rejection, to affirm that one now has no acquaintance or connection with someone, to forget oneself, lose sight of oneself, and one's own interests. We need to turn our back on ourselves, on our desires. We need to turn our back first on our... We must deny our past person. So many people are living in the past and struggling with things that they've done in the past. If you're a child of God, and if you've repented of that, when God looks at you, He says, what sin are you talking about?
Right.
It's not there. He has cast as far as the east is from the west, but so many people are clinging to that. You're carrying a dead man. Let him go. Deny that so you could be effective for Jesus, because the devil wants to plant those thoughts in your mind. Well, you can't be a child of God having done that. You can't be used of God having done that. You got to deny that. Turn your back on that. If you've dealt with it, if you repented of it, the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All gone. Cleansed. All of it. We must deny our past person. And here's one that we all struggle with. We must deny our present passion. We've all got aspirations for this life. We've all got things that we want to do. We want to be. Money we want to make. Things we want to accomplish. But sometimes in the work of God, we've got to turn our back on that and deny that for the cause of Christ. Because my desire for the longest time was to either play college football or college baseball. But God had other plans. And I praise God that He directed me another way, because I would, Brother Frank, I'm sure you can attest to this, I would have found fulfillment no other way than being behind this pulpit today. And you know the same, and I know He can attest to that fact. We got to deny our desires, our will. Now, if your will and God's will line up, praise God. But a lot of times what we want and what He wants is two different things. If we're going to follow Him, we got to be willing to turn our back on that for the cause of Christ. And remember, we talked about it last Sunday morning, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's worth it, isn't it, Brother Frank? It's worth it.
Yes.
It is worth it. And the world tells us, why would you deny what you want to follow Jesus? Because it is worth it. We're not building our earthly bank account, but our heavenly one. And we're going to talk about that shortly. We must deny our past person, our present passion. And here's one we kind of talked about in Sunday school this morning. But we must deny our personal power, which means what I mean by that is we have none. We have no power. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have no power. But thank God He has all power. He said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore in His power. See, when we get to the point where we can say, Lord, I have no power, He's got us right where He wants us to be. Because then we will be absolutely dependent upon Him. And so that's what we talked about this morning in Sunday school. Sometimes He puts us in a spot to get us to a place where we will realize that fact. It could save us a lot of heartache if we just get up every day and admit, Lord, I have no power. But You have all power. We must deny ourselves. So we must discern who we are following. We must deny ourselves. Here's another thing. We must be willing to die. You saying that's kind of steep, Pastor Tyler? What the Scripture says here, and take up His cross. The Bible says, yea, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, when you are willing to die for the cause of Christ, the world or the devil has no power over you. None whatsoever. Because what's the worst thing they can do? I've heard preachers say, don't threaten me. We got to be willing to die for the cause of Christ. Because we must be prepared. What I mean by that is we must be prepared for persecution. It's coming. We live in a sheltered corner of the United States of America, but it's on its way. It's creeping very closely. I'm sure everyone here has experienced it. But it's going to get worse before we get out of here. We're going to suffer, but let's be sure we suffer for the right reasons. And if we do, we will be rewarded for it, and it will be worth it. But we must be prepared for persecution, be prepared for parting. I mean, we may lose some stuff. We may lose some friends. We may lose some family. People, you live for God long enough, people are going to separate themselves from you. I mean, the disciples that Jesus is talking to here, they set aside just about everything to follow Jesus. And the world probably thought they was crazy. But they knew that they were following, as Peter said, the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were following God in flesh. And they knew that it would be worth it. Must be prepared for persecution, for parting, and if the Lord allows passing away. I mean, you say, well, that only happens in third world countries. If we stay here long enough, it may come our way. But one of the greatest honors in the Word of God is to lose your life for the cause of Christ. The Bible talks about in Revelation. Remember the martyrs saying, Lord, when are You going to avenge us? For those that basically killed them. And the Lord talks about, hey, we need to wait because others are going to suffer the same fate, which He didn't want them to miss out on that honor of dying for Him. And it may come to that. If it does or if it doesn't, we've got to be willing to. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to get us to the point where we don't fear death. Remember, death is the only way we get our glorified body. See, if we are not afraid to die, if we're willing to die for the cause of Christ, then the devil in this world holds no power over us. Must be willing to die, and we must be devoted. It says, and follow Me. That's not a one-day thing. It's not like, Lord, I'm going to follow You on Sunday, and then the rest of the week, I'm going to do my thing. But then next Sunday, I'll follow You again. No, it's an everyday thing. That's why it says, I believe it's in the book of Luke, it says, take up your cross daily and follow Me. Whether you realize it or not, you make a choice every day to follow Jesus or to not. And I encourage everyone, when you get up, by God's grace, say, I'm going to follow Jesus today. Take up that cross, come what may. and it will be worth it. And follow me. We must be devoted. The word devoted means zealous or ardent in attachment, loyalty, or affection. So we need to deny ourselves and put all of our affection, our passion, our desire in Jesus and following Him, in pursuing Him. We must be devoted to prayer. Pray without ceasing. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to need to be in constant communication with Him. Because the more we follow Jesus, the more the devil is going to fight. And if that communication is broken, that is when he will attack the hardest. We must be devoted to prayer, devoted to preparation. If we're going to be followers of Christ, we've got to prepare ourselves. And everything we need here is right here. Everything we need. That the man of God, the Bible says, be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything you need to be a follower of Christ and to do what He's called us to do is within this book. Devoted to prayer, preparation, performance. Doing it. Not just having the information, but doing it. And God will give you the grace to do it. You can get up every day and follow Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, you will become more like Him. Remember, that's the goal. At the very moment of our salvation, from that point until we get to glory, we were predestined to be made like Jesus. It's not like you live like you want now, and then when you get to heaven, you'll be made like Him, although we will. But when we got saved, that's when sanctification started. And every day, God is molding and shaping to make us more like Christ. And I thank God the end result is we'll be like Him. And I praise the Lord because I cannot make myself that way, but He will make me like Him. We must be devoted. So that's how we become a follower. We discern who we're following. That's the key. Discern who we're following. Deny ourselves. Must be willing to die. We must be devoted. And we see an illustration in verses 25 and 26. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Remember, the goal, if we're going to be a follower, is to deny ourselves. So the person who saves his life is the one that says, I'm not going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to do my own thing. So yeah, on planet Earth, you get to do what you want. You can live your way. And you can maybe get all the riches of this world. But then if you're a child of God, when you get to heaven, you're going to be saved, the Bible says, as so by fire. With nothing to offer our Lord. With an empty heavenly bank account. But on the other side, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Deny yourself. Follow Him. Yes, lose your life on this side of eternity, but it will be worth it. It is worth it now, and it's going to be even more so then when we are rewarded, and those rewards we can take and lay at His feet in thanksgiving for what He has done for us. Then we see verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We need to help the lost world understand that. You can get all this world's goods, but one day when you stand before God, that means absolutely nothing. What you need to worry about is what have you done with Jesus? And if you're His child, are you following Him? Deny yourself. Follow Him. The Bible talks about set your affection on things above. That way, when we get there, we'll be rewarded for it. We see the illustration there. Then we see verse 27, the incentive for obedience. And then I'll be done. It says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. We will be rewarded. Your sacrifice, your denying of yourself, your carrying of your cross, your enduring suffering for the cause of Christ, it will be worth it. It is worth it, and it will be. You will be rewarded. And those rewards are feeble rewards. Even if we accrue many, it's nothing compared to what He did for us. But we'll take them and we'll lay them at His feet in thanksgiving for Him giving of His life for us. Because, hey, he's the only reason we're there. We didn't do anything to get it. We can't do anything to keep it. And by thank God, we can't do anything to lose it either. But we're only there because of him. Let's learn more of Jesus. We talked about this morning, and we will be driven to pursue him, to follow him, to get out of bed every day and take up our cross and say, not this is what I want to do today, Lord, but Lord, what would you have me do today? Say as Jesus said, not my will but thine be done. That'll change your life. God will do great things. You will suffer for the cause of Christ. But just like the disciples, the Bible says they went away shouting and praising God that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Man, what an honor that would be. But to do that, we've got to follow him, pursue him. And before we'll do that, we've got to discern who he is. So I ask again, are you a follower of Jesus? If you're not, you can be. If you're not saved, you can be tonight. The same gospel that saved me 22 years ago can save you tonight. I thank the Lord still has power. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Miss Mary comes to the piano this evening. Don't leave tonight without doing business with God. Maybe you want to come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I want